Well, we found in our series in Luke 11:1, Jesus was praying one day, and the disciples must have overheard him and saw him pray. And after he was through praying, when he had finished, the disciples came up to him and said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" Of all the things they could have asked, you know, they saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him heal people. But something moved their hearts when they heard him pray. And they were listening, and they wanted whatever that was. I don't know what he prayed. I don't know how he prayed. But they wanted something of that. And I want you to know, that just reminded me too, that sometimes people are listening and watching us, and we don't even know it. Is that right? Jesus was just doing what he always does. In fact, I had an experience this week. I work out with my son a couple times a week. You can tell, can't you? And when we're through working out, we go over his lunch hour. He'll go back to work. I'll hit the showers. And before he leaves, he always swings by in the locker room and says, "Hey, Dad, thanks for the workout. I love you." And I say, "I love you too, son." And he leaves. Well, we did that this week, just like we always do. And he left, and I got done. And I went back into the locker room, and there was a gentleman sitting there. And he said, "I overheard your conversation." He said, was that your son?" I said, "Yeah, it was." And he started to cry. He said, I wish I could have an experience like that with my son. And when you guys said, "I love you, and I love you too," he said, "Man, it just moved to my heart." He didn't know I was a pastor, so I gave him a quick lesson on the four levels of parenting. Before I ever told him who I was, you know. And we connected in that locker room and exchanged information. I'm going to have lunch with him this week. My point is this, that people are always listening. And sometimes just the everyday stuff that you do, and people are watching. It's going to tie into this message today as well. In Luke, Jesus began to teach them a prayer that we're going to walk our way through. We're taking our time. And he also taught it in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's on the screen, and I want to read it with you, because this is where we got the title of our series, When You Pray. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask them. In this manner, therefore, pray." Would you pray it with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer is one of the most well-known prayers around the globe. Everyone knows this prayer, even unbelievers know the Lord's Prayer. In the King James Version, it's only 66 words, and you can say it in about a minute. For many, depending on your tradition, it was the first prayer you ever prayed. And for some, it will be the last prayer that you pray. Or someone will pray it over you. When Florina passed away last month, we went to her house. Before the mortuary took her away with the family, we all gathered around Florina and we prayed this prayer. My heart is for you, as we spend time looking at this prayer, which we all know, we've prayed it many, many times, but my heart would be that, and it's for me personally, that I could live this prayer, not just say it. This prayer is not just for praying, it's for living. In part one, 2 weeks ago, we considered the first four words, "Our Father in heaven." Not very many words, but we sure spent a lot of time on it, didn't we? Was that meaningful to you? You'll find in your insert this morning, you have the messenger, and there's a sermon insert in there that we even have recorded what we covered last week. In this insert, we'll spend several weeks on it. And it's going to help us walk through seven reflections on this amazing prayer. And to help us remember each reflection, they will begin with the letter P. Our first reflection is already filled in there from 2 weeks ago. It is our position. Our position. This is very significant because if we don't understand and embrace these first four words, the whole prayer will collapse. What is our position? Do you remember? If you weren't here, you can get a copy of the whole message, but our position is one of what? Sons and daughters. He's our Father in heaven. And not only that, but we've been adopted into the family of God. And this is where everything starts. That's why the prayer starts there, because this is where it all starts with our living and our life. Remember, adoption is not a change of nature or behavior at first. If you adopt an unruly child, over time, behavior will change through love and through discipline. My wife talked to me after the sermon a couple weeks ago, and as we were going home, because, you know, we've had foster children. We've had 12 foster children. She said, you know, being adopted is different than having a foster child. Because our foster children, and one time we had to do this, didn't work out so good, and we had to take him back. You can't do that with an adopted child. When you adopt a child, it's not like foster parenting. You have that child forever. God's not interested in being our foster parent. He's wanting to adopt you, his son and daughter, and that's what he's done. Remember, we considered Tim Keller's ledger, the two sides of the ledger. Do you remember it? Two ways to approach God, either the business side of the ledger or the family side of the ledger. And that's been good for me because I've been looking at it, filtering my own life through it, and realizing, man, I'm on the business side a lot more than I want to be. And that's why this prayer is so important for me personally, because I don't want to be on the business side of the ledger. I want to be on the family side of the ledger. I don't want to be a tenant. I want to be a child, a son of the Father. Amen? How about you? Remember, one of the marks, and you can read, you can hear the rest of them if you need to capture that online or with a CD, but there was one that really appealed to me in Tim's remarks. He said, on the business side, we perform to be accepted. But on the family side, we are accepted, and so we perform. And we often get that mixed up, don't we? And that's how you know which side of the ledger you're on. Because sometimes we think performance comes first. It doesn't. Acceptance comes first. When you adopt a child, you adopt them just as they are. You adopt them, and over time, that life changes. And you take on the name of the person who adopted you. Is that right? Now I have a new name. And you become part of the family, and you bear their name now. And that's exactly what we're going to learn through this prayer. This week, we want to move to the next four words in the prayer. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This word hallowed is not a word we use a lot today, is it? Which is amazing to me because in some of the new translations, like the NIV, they kept the word. Why did they do that? Because there was not another better word. And even though we don't use it much, the significance of that word is powerful. And when you leave today, I believe it's good. You're going to absorb this into your heart and into your life. I've been doing it all week, and you're going to get to begin as well. I remember in Chicago, Illinois, years ago, my wife and I, when we were in the Salvation Army, we would go to the military cemetery there and do services, and we would oftentimes have special ceremonies. And I remember standing once with, it was a United States Army colonel, and he was standing there, and he had responsibilities over this military cemetery. And I remember he said to me one day as I was standing there as a young cadet, he said, this is hallowed ground. What did he mean by that? Well, the same Greek word for hallowed can be translated sanctify, which means to make holy or treat as holy or to separate or to set apart. He was saying that this cemetery has been set apart. It's been set apart, and we treat it as holy, sacred ground. Well, now in this prayer, Jesus is saying when we pray to our Father as a son, as a daughter, we are to hallow his name. We are praying that God's name will be treated as holy and sacred to glorify his name. So here's our next P. It is praise and adoration. praise and adoration. We're going to have two slides because I have more than these three scriptures, but I want to begin with these scriptures here as we consider what does it mean to hallow the name of God. One of the things that struck me as I was meditating on this particular part of the prayer is that this is the part of the prayer that we will take to heaven with us. Hallowed be thy name. We won't take the other parts. Give us this day our daily bread. Ain't going with you, because there will be no hunger in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Nope, that's for here. There'll be no sin in heaven. We'll be in perfect forgiveness. Help us overcome temptation. Not going to be an issue in heaven. Overcome the evil one. He's not going to be there. But in Revelation 4, heaven spends all of eternity, and all the elders around the throne and all the angels spend day and night declaring what? Singing what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Holy is his name. We will spend all of eternity, won't we, proclaiming and praising and hallowing God's name. So we get to get warmed up now. We're going to do this for all eternity, but we don't have to wait to go to heaven to do this. That's why we get to live this prayer. We don't just say the words, but we get to live it. I am a child. I am a son of God. You are a son and daughter of God. We're going to hallow his name. We're going to do it for all eternity, but we're going to begin right now. In fact, in Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist declared this. He said, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. That's what it says in Revelations. They live ever, day and night, declaring this reality. We do it too. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's something we can do right now. And it's fulfilling this prayer. We can exalt his name. Notice that praise and adoration of God comes before petitions for bread. It comes before forgiveness of debts. It comes before dealing with temptation. It comes before dealing with the evil one. It is first in our prayer. As we approach God, we begin with our position, and then we move to our praise and our adoration. In Philippians 4, 6 through 8, well-known scripture, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is to be part and maybe first in our requests and petitions before God. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then comes verse 8. You will never experience verse 8 without moving into that position of praise and adoration as your foundation of prayer. And here's the experience. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I believe if you can learn for the praise and adoration comes first in every area of your life, I believe you will exchange anxiety for peace. The problem is we flip it, don't we? We come with our anxiety and hoping we get peace. But he's saying begin with adoration, begin with praise. God is to be hallowed above everything else. The problem is sometimes we hallow our problems above God because it takes first place. And we set them apart and it's all we talk about. You ever been around people that said the devil did this and the devil did that and the devil's doing this to me and the devil's doing, and so, yeah, okay, is that all that's... They're hallowing the devil. We need to hallow God in his name. Let's turn to the Old Testament, the third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 7. You know it well, don't you? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Do you ever cringe when you hear people use God's name in vain? Does it just kind of make your hair stand up? Some of you thought for a long time that God's last name was damn it. But it's not. People constantly defame his name all around us. Some of you do it. I've heard you. You go to movies, you watch television, you participate in conversation, and I've heard people say, well, that's just the way people talk. Not you, because you're going to hallow his name. Hallowed be his name. But I believe this is much bigger than curse words or slang. In the early rabbinic literature, we find two words in Hebrew. Kadosh Hashem means to hallow the name. Its opposite, Hallow Hashem, means to profane the name. There's a book written by Joseph Taluskin, A Code of Jewish Ethics, Volume 1, entitled You Shall Be Holy, and he tells this story. A story was told about Simeon ben Shattach, a Jewish sage who lived about 100 years before Jesus. His disciples bought their impoverished teacher a donkey from a wealthy Arab trader to ease their mentor's daily burdens. When they began to prepare the donkey and comb through its mane, they found a rare jewel that had fallen from one of its expensive loads. The disciples rejoiced at their teacher's newfound wealth. But Shattach refused it, ordering his disciples to find the Arab and return the jewel. When the disciples located the trader, he was breathless at regaining his prize, declaring, "Blessed be the God of Simeon ben Shattach." Because of the rabbi's great honesty, the foreigner gave praise to God. This is what it means in rabbinic parlance to sanctify God's name. It means to live in such a way as to bring God glory among those who do not know him. Kadosh Hashem. How is it that we use God's name in vain? It's more than just speaking a word. It's the way we live. This prayer is not just something we say, but it's something we live. Here's some other scriptures we're going to look at. Isaiah 8, 12 through 13. The prophet Isaiah spoke a word of prophecy over the children of Israel. They were getting ready to make an allegiance with the Assyrians because they were afraid. And the prophet spoke these words to them. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people, concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him shall you hallow. Him shall you hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. How many of you fear people more than God? If you hallow his name, when you hallow his name, you put him first. I have often said, and the Lord spoke in my heart, do you fear that more than me? I fear God above all else. And that is to hallow his name. Amos 2, 6, 8, thus says the Lord God, describing these people in their sin, he said, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and they pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl. Then he says, they do this to defile my holy name. It's the way they live. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God to defile my holy name. Numbers 20, verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Moses was not allowed to go in the promised land. Why? Because he did not believe God and he did not hallow his name. How so? In anger, he struck the rock that brought them water. God wanted him to speak to the rock, but out of frustration and anger, he struck the rock. How often is it our own lack of obedience, our own lack of faith that defames the name of God? He could have honored God and hallowed his name by speaking to the rock, but he did not. Leviticus 22, 31 through 32. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name. You mean swear, cussing, what? No. But I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I found this story the other day of a college student. Because hallow means to greatly honor or treat as holy. And this particular young man, he was the first one in his family to go to college. So it was a big deal. And while he was there, someone approached him and offered him some illegal drugs. And he said, go ahead, try it. It'll make you feel good. And the student replied, no. He said, oh, don't be so uptight. Nobody's going to know you tried a little dope and got a little high. And the student said, that's not the point. The point is that my mother cleaned houses and washed floors to send me to college. I am here because of her. I am here for her. I wouldn't do anything that might demean her sacrifice for me. He was hallowing his mother's name because of her sacrifice. He decided to live a certain way. Is that true for us? And what's been done for us? It's how we hallow his name. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:6. He said, I have praying for them to the Father. He said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Do we manifest the name of God in our lives? Jesus did it. They were yours and you gave them to me and they have kept your word. And later he encourages them to manifest his name. In Matthew 5:16, the Sermon on the Mount, we know these words well. After talking about being salt and light, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's how we hallow his name, is how we live. How you doing with that? Maybe you're doing as poorly as me. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I'm trying, and this last week, I got up every morning, and the first words I uttered were, God, today, in all I do and all I say, may I hallow your name. I started my day that way. And I've been spending this week, I've been spending all week, you get to spend this next week, maybe cover the same ground, but I realize I don't always hallow his name. Sometimes I'm using his name in vain, not in swearing, but just the way I live. I have an acrostic, hope it's okay. We'll go through it real quick. You can write it on the side of your page, on the back. Hallowed. How do we hallow God's name? H, heart and home. You hallow his name first on the inside, from your heart. Do you hallow his name in your thought life? Are you hallowing his name? How about your home life, where you live? This is very important, you know, with your children, your wife, your husband. When you're interacting, when you're having home house situations, could it be that the filter of your family life could be hallow his name? Our family's going to hallow his name. I'm going to teach our children to hallow his name. His name is holy and sanctified in all that we do and all that we say and do. A, how about allegiance and attention? What do you give allegiance to? What do you give attention to? You know, we pledge allegiance to this flag over here. Nothing wrong with that. But I wonder sometimes if our allegiance to our country doesn't trump our allegiance to God. Does it not come first that our allegiance to him is foremost and should filter everything else? Everything we do should be from this filter of hallowing his name. What do we give attention to? What do we talk about the most? Remember, the psalmist said his praise will continually be in my mouth. Are we hallowing his name in all of our allegiances and our attention? L, language, our word, our speech, what we say. And it's, again, not we default to curse words, but really it's more than that. Just your general conversation, does it hallow God's name, his character, who he is? The other L, how about your labor? How about where you work? We work unto the Lord, don't we? We don't work for the man. We work for the man. We don't work for the business guy, although we do, but we're really working unto the Lord. Christians ought to be the best workers there are. If somebody found out you were a Christian, they should want to hire you just on that basis, because you're going to hallow the name of God in your work, in what you do. Oh, obedience. Just like Moses, our obedience hallows the name of God. When we obey the Lord, we follow in his steps. It's, again, why are we obedient? Not to be accepted. We're already accepted, but out of acceptance, we find ourselves being obedient. It's how we hallow the name of God, by being obedient to the things we know God wants us to do. We're not perfect at it, but that is our focus. That is our aim. W, witness and worship. Witness and worship. Isn't that what Matthew was talking about? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes your witness is intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. Remember, people are watching you. They're looking at your lifestyle. Do you hallow the name of God by the way you live? There's a new series on TV I was watching the other day called What Would You Do? And they set people up to see if they'll be honest or not. I said to God, man, I hope they never do that to me. Glory to God. I would hope I would always be honest. But this guy purposely spilt money in the mall. And then they filmed people, and he asked people for help. And they would gather up the money, and there was one lady that was, and then didn't give it all to him, kept part of it. Finder's fee, I think, is what she was rationalizing. Well, that's a finder's fee, you know. What would you do? Well, if you could approach it, I want to hallow the name of God. So what would I do to hallow his name, to sanctify his name? How about E? Entertainment. Entertainment. We can hallow the name of God in how we spend our leisure time. Do you approach it that way, or is that a side issue? When you're watching a TV program. I mean, my wife and I, we've walked out of movies before and asked for our money back. Not to be holier than thou. But I want to hallow the name of God. I don't want to sit and listen to this. This isn't what I expected, what I thought. No, I'm not Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. But everything, yeah, my wife is. But I heard her say that. I am. She's the one, should we be watching this? No, you're right. We probably shouldn't, you know. God uses her to help me. But what about this TV control, what you watch on television? Well, nobody's watching. Nobody's there to know. Ask the question, am I hallowing the name of God in my leisure, in my entertainment? Not legalistically, I'm not talking about all things are lawful for you, but not all things are profitable, not all things edify, and you should be mastered by none. How about the last letter, D, dependence? If you really want to hallow the name of God, then you walk in a spirit of dependence. Nothing hallows the name of God more than when you say, I humble myself before God. I can't and you can. And you're magnifying the name of the Lord, as the psalmist said, and you're hallowing his name when you live your life in a place of dependence. This next picture, some of you might recognize it from your history books. This is a picture taken in Coventry, England. During World War II, this was a picture of a cathedral there that was bombed. Its ruins still remain today. They've built a new cathedral, but they kept the ruins to remind them of a particular time in history. And if you ever go there, you will notice around the walls of the ruins are small panels that survived the bombing. And each of these panels contain a prayer for God's name to be hallowed and reverenced. I have a list of them. And if you ever go there, you check this out. The prayer on the wall of the old cathedral says, begins by saying, hallowed be thy name in industry. God, be in my hands and in my making. Next one, hallowed be thy name in arts. God, be in my senses and all my creating. How will be thy name at home? God, be in my heart and in my loving. Hallowed be thy name in commerce. God, be in my desk and in my trading. How will be thy name in government? God, be in my plans and in my deciding. How will be thy name in education? God, be in my mind and in my growing. Hallowed be my name in recreation. God be in my limbs and in my leisure. And the last one, hallowed be my name in suffering. God be in my pain and in my enduring. Hallowed be thy name in my whole life and the way I live. Now I'm praying this prayer on two levels. I'm praying that God would hallow his name in the earth. And God can do that. I'm also praying that I will hallow his name in my life so that I just don't say the prayer, but I can live the prayer. I don't speak as one who's obtained, but I speak to one who's pressing towards the goal. I want to live my life in a way that would hallow God, not just when you see me, but when you don't see me. Am I magnifying his name? Is that the purpose of this prayer? Know that prayer is not to change God, but it is to change us. It changes us to align us with the purposes of God, which you're going to see in this prayer as we continue to walk through it, what's on the heart of God. And so, but we must begin with our position and then move to a place of prayer and adoration, hallowing his name. In 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, not on the screen, we find these words. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We're coming to the table this morning with Hebrews 10:10 on our heart. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Holy. How many of you think of yourself as holy? How many of you look in the mirror in the morning and say, you know, I'm holy? How many of your friends, they said, hey, tell me about Joe. Oh, he's holy. Probably that wouldn't be the first word, would it? But the reality is this. We've talked about this before. There are three levels of holiness. The first level has been done for you. It's by your adoption. The word is to sanctify, to set apart. God has declared you holy. That's what Hebrews 10:10 is saying. He made you holy. See, God's not made holy. God is holy. But he made you holy because he selected you and he set you apart as a child of God. He called you. He made you holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all, you don't have to keep coming back for it. You are holy. You are holy. Problem is we confuse the other two levels with level one. Level two is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Because we are holy, we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. What? What's it say? Holy. I present my body to him as a living sacrifice. When I first read that, my reaction was, well, I can't present my body to him then because I'm not holy. Not like he's holy. I'm not holy. Didn't realize God already declared me holy. And so because of that, because of my position, I then present myself to him, my body to him as holy. And that leads me to the third level of holiness, which you struggle with every day. And that's living holy. Living holy. That's how we hallow his name. We're not perfect at it. We're not performing to be accepted. We're already accepted. And that's why we live the way we live. And God's helping us. So we're getting better all the time. I know I am. But I know my righteousness is as filthy rags. It's his righteousness. But because of his righteousness, it helps me to hallow his name in the way I live, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my children, the way I treat my grandchildren. I want it to filter through this prayer. Hallowed be his name in everything. The way I treat you, the way I pastor, the way I interact with people I don't even know. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. May I be that filter and live this prayer. It could change everything. Some of you are wrestling with temptation right now. This will help. When you're being tempted, hallowed be thy name. If Jesus was there with you in the flesh, would it be easier for you? Yeah. We'd be in our best behavior, wouldn't we? I wouldn't be. I'm with Jesus, man. He is with you. He is with you. His spirit is resident within you. So the natural response in all of these things is to hallow his name, to sanctify, to set apart, to make holy and pure. That's what we're going to do. We're not just going to say it, we're going to live it. Father, we're going to come to your table this morning. It is a table of holiness. In fact, we've been instructed before we ever come to this table, we're to take time to inspect our lives, to look at our lives, and use this as a time to discern the body, both horizontally and vertically, Lord. Lord, I pray with all my heart that we would be a congregation that understands our position and knows to hallow your name. We want to do it, Lord, in our worship, in our service, in everything we set our hand to. We pray that would filter through hallowing your name. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love each other. We come to this table. We celebrate the reality of what you've done in our life and that you have set us apart to be holy unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle this morning. Take the bread and dip it in the cup. If you're not a member of this congregation, you are still invited to this table because you are positionally a child of God and you can come. You're a son. You're a daughter. You will not be turned away. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is your day to allow God to declare your position in Him as an adopted son or daughter. It is His heart for you today. Amen. God bless you as you come. I'm going to be praying for you all this week as you consider these four words. I pray it'd be the filter of your life this week. No matter what struggles you might be facing, you may be on a mountaintop, you may be in the valley. Either way, hallow His name. Hallowed be His name and how you respond and what you do. The foremost goal of our life is not that our life would be easy, although I wouldn't mind that. How about you? It's not just to be happy, although I'm all in on that. It is this, that God would be glorified through my situation and my life. Amen? Would you agree with your pastor in that as we walk that path together this week? I don't know how that's going to apply. I don't know even what you particularly heard today. But I believe God has spoken into your heart, and would you listen? Would you respond to Him? And would you glorify His name? Will you hallow His name in your family, at work, with your neighbors, at church? Let it just ripple out as we live this prayer. Next week, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer is going to just intensify as we walk through it. This is the heart of God, and we want to live it. Amen? Amen. Would you let me pray with you? I want to give you an invitation. When I'm through praying, you're invited to come forward. We'll stick around here, and we'll pray with you. There'll be others who'll pray with you. And again, that, you know you're hallowing His name when you do that? Yeah. You're saying, I got a need, and I want to just share it. I want to be dependent upon God. Hallowed be His name. Hallowed be His name. I'm declaring His majesty in my situation. I'm not going to run and play hide and seek. I'm going to magnify His name today, even in my situation. So I invite you to do that. We won't be in any hurry, but this is a gift to you from God, the body of Christ. He gave it to you for that purpose. Take advantage of it, amen? Otherwise, some of you, and I'm also grateful that you're here today. I know you could have been at the lake or some other place on a holiday weekend. You chose to be here. I pray that by coming here on Sunday, you're hallowing His name. You're hallowing His name. Not hallowing my name, not your name. It's His name. Amen. Father, I pray your blessing upon this congregation. I love them with all my heart. I pray that you would help me as a pastor to hallow your name in the ministry that is before us here. That we would not hallow programs. Lord, we wouldn't just hallow events, but we'd hallow you in everything we do and everything we say would filter through it and that our whole lives would bring honor and glory to your name. We love you and we love each other in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Go in God's love. And the grace of our Lord. Yeah, give the Lord a clap. Well, that's okay. We need to do that sometimes. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We love you.